Today is the 23rd day of the month of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is an honor to be here. I'm grateful. Grateful to be here around the global campfire with you. Grateful to not be sitting here trying to keep myself warm by myself. I'm grateful to be roasting marshmallows with you here around this global campfire. I hope you are doing well. It's great to see you. So grateful. Glad we can have some time. I'm glad that we're friends. I'm glad that we have each other. I'm glad that we're here. And glad that we're all here. Glad that we have each other. Grateful. So anyway, with all that gratitude, let us jump in and pick up the story right where we left off, which will first lead us into the book of 2 Kings. Today, chapter 4, verse 18 through 5, verse 27. The child grew, and one day went out to his father and the harvesters. Suddenly he complained to his father, "My head, my head." His father told his servant, "Carry him to his mother." So he picked him up and took him to his mother. The child sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut him in, and left. She summoned her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys so I can hurry to the man of God and come back again." But he said, "Why go to him today? It's not a new moon or a Sabbath." She replied, "It's all right." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Go fast. Don't slow the pace for me unless I tell you." So she came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to his attendant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run out to meet her and ask, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your son all right?'" And she answered, "It's all right." When she came up to the man of God at the mountain, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in severe anguish, and the Lord has hidden it from me. He hasn't told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Didn't I say, 'Don't lie to me'?" So Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your mantle under your belt, take my staff with you, and go. If you meet anyone, don't stop to greet him, and if a man greets you, don't answer him. Then place my staff on the boy's face." The boy's mother said to Elisha, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went ahead of them and placed the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or sign of life. So he went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy didn't wake up." When Elisha got to the house, he discovered the boy lying dead on his bed. So he went in, closed the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the boy. He put mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand. While he bent down over him, the boy's flesh became warm. Elisha got up, went into the house, and paced back and forth. Then he went up and bent down over him again. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." He called her and she came. Then Elisha said, "Pick up your son." She came, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. She picked up her son and left. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him. He said to his attendant, put on a large pot and make stew for the sons of the prophets. One went out to the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment would hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, but they were unaware of what they were. They served some for the men to eat, but when they ate the stew, they cried out, "There's death in the pot, man of God." And they were unable to eat it. Then Elisha said, "Get some flour." He threw it into the pot and said, "Serve it for the people to eat." And there was nothing bad in the pot. A man from Baal Shalisha came to the man of God with his sack full of 20 loaves of barley bread from the first bread of the harvest. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But Elisha's attendant asked, "What? Am I to set this before 100 men?" "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said, "for this is what the Lord says. They will eat, and they will have some left over." So he set it before them, and as the Lord had promised, they ate and had some left over. Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a man important to his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore the king of Aram said, "Go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel." So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it read, "When this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman, for you to cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, "Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he is only picking a fight with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored, and you will be clean." But Naaman got angry and left, saying, "I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and left in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him and declared, "I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives in whose presence I stand, I will not accept it." Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Naaman responded, "If not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other god but the Lord. However, in a particular matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master, the king of Aram, goes into the temple of Rimmon to bow in worship while he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. So he said to him, "Go in peace." After Naaman had traveled a short distance from Elisha, Gehazi, the attendant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "My master has let this Aramean, Naaman, off lightly by not accepting from him what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and asked, "Is everything all right?" Gehazi said, "It's all right. My master has sent me to say, I have just now discovered that two young men from the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothing." But Naaman insisted, "Please accept 150 pounds. He urged Gehazi, then packed 150 pounds of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. Naaman gave them to 2 of his attendants who carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the gifts from them and deposited them in the house. Then he dismissed the men and they left. Gehazi came and stood by his master. "Where did you go, Gehazi?" Elisha asked him. He replied, "Your servant didn't go anywhere. And my heart didn't go when the man got down from his chariot to meet you," Elisha said. "Is this a time to accept silver and clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, flocks and herds, and male and female slaves? Therefore, Naaman's skin disease will cling to you and your descendants forever." So Gehazi went out from his presence, diseased, resembling snow. Acts 15, 1 through 35. Some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved." After Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate, Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem about this issue. When they had been sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and they brought great joy to all the brothers and sisters. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders gathered to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you are aware that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the gospel message and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now then, why are you testing God by putting a yoke on the disciples' necks that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the same way they are. The whole assembly became silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul describe all the signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they stopped speaking, James responded, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for his name. And the words of the prophets agree with this, as it is written, 'After these things I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. I will rebuild its ruins and set it up again, so that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' declares the Lord who makes these things known from long ago. Therefore, in my judgment, we should not cause difficulties for those among the Gentiles who turn to God, but instead we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from blood. For since ancient times, Moses has had those who proclaim him in every city, and every Sabbath day he is read aloud in the synagogues. Then the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, decided to select men who were among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, both leading men among the brothers. They wrote, 'From the apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers and sisters among the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some without our authorization went out from us and troubled you with their words and unsettled your hearts, we have unanimously decided to select men and send them to you, along with our dearly loved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who will personally report the same things by word of mouth. For it was the Holy Spirit's decision, and ours, not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements: that you abstain from food offered to idols, from blood, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. You will do well if you keep yourselves from these things. Farewell.' So they were sent off and went down to Antioch, and after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters and strengthened them with a long message. After spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers and sisters to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the word of the Lord. Psalm 141. Protection from sin and sinners. A Psalm of David. Lord, I call on you. Hurry to help me. Listen to my voice when I call on you. May my prayer be set before you as incense, the raising of my hands as the evening offering. Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Do not let my heart turn to any evil thing or perform wicked acts with evildoers. Do not let me feast on their delicacies. Let the righteous one strike me. It is an act of faithful love. Let him rebuke me It is oil for my head. Let me not refuse it. Even now my prayer is against the evil acts of the wicked. When their rulers will be thrown off the sides of a cliff, the people will listen to my words, for they are pleasing. As when one plows and breaks up the soil, turning up rocks, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of Sheol. But my eyes look to you, Lord, my Lord. I seek refuge in you. Do not let me die. Protect me from the trap they have set for me and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. Proverbs 17:23. A wicked person secretly takes a bribe to subvert the course of justice. So we got some drama in the Old Testament and the New Testament today. And some like really, really important movement in the New Testament. Like there's things in the book of Acts that we read and we take it for granted. But we don't always kind of see the underpinning of how pivotal and how consequential decisions are and were. But first, 2 Kings, we read this story of the Aramean military hero named Naaman. And even though Naaman's powerful and decorated, he has this degenerative skin disease. It's leprosy. So hearing that there's a prophet in Israel who might be able to help, the king of Aram sent Naaman with these royal papers of introduction so that he could pursue his healing. Eventually, Naaman finds himself on the doorstep of the prophet Elisha, and he has these expectations because he's an important man. He's a military hero. He's a trusted dignitary of Aram. So this holy man, this prophet, should come out and do the song and dance and, you know, perform a miracle in some kind of over-the-top way. He should recite incantations that would heal him. Instead, Elisha doesn't even come out to see him face to face. He sent his servant, Gehazi, to tell Naaman, go to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. Naaman is used to being treated with awe, with respect, with people bowing down. And the fact that Elisha didn't even greet him in person enraged him. And so he's like, aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Farpar, better than any of the rivers here in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So his pride is hurt and he's angry. And so he does not have clear vision. Let's remember that when our pride gets hurt and anger arises, we're not thinking clearly. Note to self, right? So his attendants tried to reason with him. They're like, listen, sir, you know, if the prophet had told you to do something really hard or some big thing, wouldn't you have done it? So why wouldn't you try this simple thing? He just said, go wash and be cured in the Jordan. Like, what do you have to lose here? So Naaman just about went home as sick as he was when he left. And oh, wow, here we go. Because that story invites us to look at the ways that our own pride interferes with the simple path to restoration. Ouch. Naaman dipped in the Jordan River, and he was cleansed. So he moves beyond his pride, and he finds that simple obedience is all that was necessary. And that is a lesson for me and you. And then in Acts, we witness what is known as the First Church Council. In church history, there have been many church councils, some of them very, very consequential, some of them very much forming, you know, what is Orthodox Christianity, what we believe. But this is the first one, and it is not inconsequential. Like, it is a pivotal turning point for the church. The issue is inclusion. The debate is how Gentile converts could be included into the church. One side of the argument, and I mean, it's a good, it's legit. One side of the argument is the Gentiles should be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. The reason that it would be a legitimate argument is that that is the context Jesus' ministry and life was in. He was a Jewish rabbi, following Torah, observing the festivals, obeying the law. In fact, fulfilling the law. The argument on the other side is that, well, I mean, Peter says God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, the same way we received. God didn't make any distinctions between us and them. He cleansed their hearts through faith, same as us. So how can you challenge God by trying to burden the Gentile believers with these rules, this yoke that we can't bear and our ancestors couldn't bear? We're all saved in the same way, and that is grace and mercy, the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. So eventually it's a council. Decisions are being made. Eventually a decision was made. Gentiles did not need to convert to Judaism in order to then find faith in Jesus. Like, that doesn't seem all that important. We could be like, duh, like, logic, like, whatever. Like, that's not a big deal. But it was so big, so big, and caused so much to happen. Because it was a distinction that fundamentally changed the way the church was viewed. So prior to this, faith in Jesus was considered like a subsect of Judaism, a rabbinical teaching of Jesus Christ within the framework of Judaism. And so followers of Jesus received like religious protections within the Roman Empire that the Jews received because their faith was ancient. And so they had kind of an exclusion to not worship the gods of the empire, because the empire, the Roman Empire, is polytheistic. They worship many gods. The Jerusalem Council affirmed a distinction that clearly welcomed anyone who believed in Jesus. And that put the church at odds with the traditionalists. And that issue is one that we will continue to see arising as we move through the rest of the New Testament. Like, this is a big deal. It's a controversy, and we will see it all the way through, and we'll talk about it plenty as we do that. But this is the first church council, so a monumental thing. in today's reading. So, Father, thank you for another day and another opportunity to immerse ourselves in the scriptures here in a safe oasis, a safe place that we come to every day that we think of as the global campfire. Thank you for this place of safety and repair. And today there's so much for us. The story of Naaman and pride and simple obedience. I know that that touches me, but that touches all of us with ears to hear and eyes to see. So we invite you into these places where if it was some kind of big fanfare thing that we needed to do, that would get a lot of attention or whatever, then here we are. We're ready to make that viral video that touches the world. But simple obedience, that's boring. Simple obedience. We're bigger than that. And our pride is just raging. And so we see this in Naaman. We see this in ourselves. And we invite your Holy Spirit of truth to reveal all the places that exists in us and where it is rooted, because that does not belong in the soil of our hearts. It will never yield a crop of anything good. And then we see the Jerusalem Council today and just how the shift took place that actually allowed us to be standing here, sitting here around the fire today. And we're grateful for that. And so Holy Spirit, come and plant what needs to be planted and weed out what needs to be weeded. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are Homebase and Indeed, where to get connected and stay connected and, man, be on the journey together. So be sure to check in. We have a brand new update to the brand new 2.0 app. This is update 2.0.2. So we released, 6 weeks ago, something like that? And as these things are deployed at this kind of enterprise level, then there's all kinds of stabilization to be done. And that's been a very, very key component. So this, the first update fixed all kinds of things. The second update is adding a few things. So in the 2.0.2 update, there's a new little icon. It's air casting, especially in iOS, so that you can cast to a speaker or anything Bluetooth very easily. And so that is incorporated. Let's see, one of our major customer service things is fixed, and that is for some people. Like if you were playing Daily Audio Bible and then maybe a phone call came in, or you went and did something else and you were coming back, it lost your place and so it started over. That has been repaired and fixed, and so that that will work properly. And then for our family here that has vision issues or any kind of vision impairment, we have fully incorporated voiceover. So absolutely thrilled to have that in place. And then there's several other stabilization tweaks and stuff. So make sure you go get the update, the 2.0.2 update, and stay up to date as we finish up really stabilizing. And that went well. I'm excited about where we're going with all of this. And so grab that update. Also, coming up, and this is really, really important, 2 weeks from today is the seventh day of July. And the seventh day of July is a very important day in the community here. It is our daily audio Bible holiday that we have just among ourselves. And this is the day that we call the Long Walk. And this is the 20th year since its inception. And the Long Walk, if you've been here for a year or more, then you know what the Long Walk is, and you've probably been on them many years even. The Long Walk is a day that we take and set aside in the center of the year. And we might think that we're just way too busy or we can't do that. But we can if we want to. We pretty much have the ability to do most of the things that we really, really want to do. It is a day to take off in the middle of the year and go somewhere beautiful, get outside into nature, pay attention to what's actually going on. The life is all around us that we ignore. The beauty of nature is all around us that we're not usually paying a lot of attention to. And go for a long walk with God, a time to reset in the middle of the year, to untangle everything that has been balled up inside of us that is creating anxiety and depression in us, to just speak it out, to go for a long walk and talk about everything with God who loves you and that you love. The one who knows you more than anyone ever could. The one that knows your secrets that you hide in shame already and still wants to spend the day with you. Yeah, go for a long walk and say it all. But then you're on a long walk with somebody you're in love with. And you remember what that's like, right? That time doesn't really matter when you're hand in hand with the one that you are falling in love with. And yeah, I mean, time just stands still and the connection is so strong. Listen. Speak and listen. Have a dialogue with God and spend the day just doing that. Sitting down when you want, walking when you want, and spend the day regrouping. You might think that's a waste of time. You'll get back a whole lot more than a day. And clarity for the rest of this year, a whole lot more. Direction, a whole lot less stress. So that is the long walk. And that is very individual experience. But since there's thousands and thousands of us all over the world going on a long walk, it's very communal as well. And what makes it a beautiful community experience, one of my favorites, is that wherever you go, whether you drive 3 hours to a place that's very symbolic to you, or whether you just go, you know, go to a beautiful park that's nearby, that's not the important thing. The important thing is get into beauty, get into nature, and wherever you go, maybe take a selfie, take a video, take a picture wherever you are of what you're seeing, maybe a little video, whatever. We will put a long walk post at the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible. We'll put a post there for the long walk, and you can comment in that post. Anything, you know, where you went, what you felt like the Lord was speaking to you, but also maybe you can post your pictures or your videos. And so when we all get in from our long walks, we can go there and look at all of the little windows that we have opened to each other. And we'll see what the day looked like all over the world. And I find that to be enchanting, to be honest. I read every single one of them. And so plan for that. Plan for the Daily Audio Bible Long Walk coming up 2 weeks from today, the 7th of July. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply. Thank you humbly. With all gratitude, there is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Debbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia, and I just heard the prayer request from Lisa, the Encourager. Lisa, I just want you to know that we're going to be praying for you, lifting you up to the throne of God. And I was just struck. I was so amazed at the calmness in your voice and the strength that we can have in with our faith in Jesus and the comfort that he brings us. And I just hope that if I'm ever faced with that diagnosis, that I'm able to face it with the calmness and the courage that you are. Also want to ask Dabbers to pray for my sister Terry and her family. I haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks, but I know that they're still struggling. Donald is in and out of the hospital and has had a couple of amputations, and she's his caregiver. Also, my niece is going through a divorce, so she's trying to help as much as she can with that. And she is just really under a lot of stress. So I ask that you guys just love on her and pray for her and lift her up to the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We lift Lisa, the Encourager, up to you. I just thank you so much for this beautiful sister and her testimony and her trust in you and just the calm and peace that you're bringing her in this storm, dear Lord. We love you for that. And I just ask that you would be with my sister Terry, that you would bring her peace, comfort, strength during all of this stress that she's under, dear Lord, and just hold her in your arms. Love on her like you have been. We love you. We trust you. And thank you so much for all that you do for us every day, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brian, Jill, Hart, and family, thank you so much for what you do for us and providing this platform for us to pray for one another. We love you guys. Be blessed, everyone.
This is Candace from Oregon. I want to pray for Daisha from Austin. She's having surgery for cancer under her tongue July 6th. Lord, be with the doctors. There's two surgeries, and then she'll be in the hospital for 2 weeks. So we pray, Lord, that the swelling will go down quickly, that she can swallow easily, there'll be few side effects, and that this will be very, very successful to restore her, Lord. And we pray this is all to your honor and glory. Also, please, everybody, join me in prayer for a team from several churches that I'll be with visiting in August in Rwanda at the Rwandan African New Life Ministry. Lord, we pray that God would lead this group, provide for us in all the right preparations, that the 10 of us will work well together as a team, that God will set guardian angels around us as we travel, that we'll be able to encourage the Africa New Life communities as well as receive their encouragement for all that God desires for each of us as we grow in Him. Thank you, God, for Daily Audio Bible, for Brian and the entire team that makes this fellowship possible for us. I pray, Lord, that you'll encourage everyone who's hearing my voice right now, and that you'll just pour out your spirit, Lord, through this ministry, in Jesus' name.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is June 20th. I'm asking for prayers for my uncle. He's been dialysis for a while, so his kidneys, are not functioning. Just please say a prayer for my Uncle Dennis, and that he just He's a Christian, so just ask that he walks this path of his life, Lord. Just lift him up to you. Sherry called in, would like us to pray for a strange son for over a year, but he has returned home, praise and glory to our Lord and Savior, and is currently peaceful and did attend his sister's baptism. So praise and glory there for the baptism and for the son joining in on that. So we give you praise, our Lord and Savior. Andrew called in, would like us to pray for a son whose wife and stepson are separating. So, Lord, we ask that you be with the couple, with Andrew's son and the wife. Lord, we ask that you'd be in this, and if it is your will, that it would be reconciled. Debbie called in, would like us to pray for son Pat. He's just discouraged. He could use a better job. So, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would just enlighten him and become a light for you, Lord. We ask that you be with Debbie, and she has words and compassion and grace to say to her son Pat. Elizabeth called in, would like us to pray for her daughter, Deborah, and sons, Brendan and Sean. We just want to lift them all up in faith, Lord. We place them at your feet and just ask that, again, the Holy Spirit would enter into their hearts, that Elizabeth would have the words to lift them up to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and God bless.
Good morning, Dab family. This is one traveling chick from Texas. Just wanted to hop on real quick and pray for some of the Dabbers. Lisa, the encourager with a cancer diagnosis, and also a gentleman by the name of Andy who has a diagnosis of cancer in the sinus cavity, and so many others who have ailments and sicknesses within the body. I just wanted to jump on and pray for our community. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you asking you to heal us. It is written that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and that you, Lord, will raise us up, and that if we have committed sin, you will forgive us. So, Father, we let go of all unforgiveness, resentment, anger, and bad feelings towards anyone, Lord God, and we take on the work of repair. And Father, Lord, we acknowledge that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we desire to be in good health. We seek truth that will make us free, both spiritually and naturally, Lord. You bought us at a price, and we desire to glorify you in our body and our spirit, because they both belong to you. So, Father, we just thank you in advance. Thank you for sending your word to heal us and deliver us from all destructions, Lord God. Jesus, you are the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. You bore our griefs, our pains, and carried our sorrows and sicknesses. You were pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and the chastising of our well-being was on your shoulders. And by your stripes, we are healed. So, Father God, give attention. We give attention to your words and incline our ears to whatever you're saying to us, Lord God. And Father, since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us, Lord God, he who raises Christ from the dead would also give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in us. So, Father, we just thank you. Amen.
ATAB line. This is Corey up in Saskatchewan. Just driving home from work, listening to the DAB today, and man, I wasn't expecting to call, but I just heard the news about Lisa, the encourager, and it is like, feels like a gut punch to me. I'm almost moved to tears here. I feel like my eyes are welling up. It's I looked at, unfortunately, my wife and I have had to travel, and I don't like hearing you joining the club. I understand kind of where you're at and difficulty of that, and just know that you're not alone, that we're praying for you. We will lift you up. So weird, because you prayed for me before. You feel like a friend to me, and that hits close to home. So, man, not the news I wanted to hear, but just know that you're lifted up in our prayers, and yeah, we're thinking about you. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Sorry to hear. Praying for you. Bye.
Good afternoon, DAB family. This is Heather in Tennessee, and I'm asking for prayers for my family as we navigate an uncertain period in our life. My husband recently decided to start his own remodeling company, and so we are in the phase of startup, and we really need prayers and blessings to provide for our family and to make wise decisions. Please pray for me as I search for a remote job, which will also allow me to continue homeschooling my two children. And please pray for my son, who has been battling hamstring issues since February of this year. Thank you, DAB. God bless you all.